I just wanted to confuse the nursery workers and the teen class by singing. They won't know what we're doing. Go in your Bibles, Matthew chapter number 6 tonight. Matthew chapter number 6. We're also going to be looking over in 2 Peter. Matthew chapter number 6. You know that when someone tells you they will do something, or they'll be somewhere, or they'll get a job done, or whatever somebody might be telling you, you can only depend on that action as much as you can depend on the person. Them. When he says them, he's talking about the heathen in verse number 7. He says, "For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask of him." What a blessing that we have there, the fact that God knows what we need. That's a blessing to know, because as I'm praying and I sit there and I kneel and we just spend a very brief amount of time, family members that you have or people that you interact with, and I don't know them that well, and I don't know the situation that well, and then sometimes there's unspokens, and I mean, but I do know something. That God completely understands the whole picture. So when I pray for the Beardsley at court, don't know the whole story? Don't need to know the whole story, because I know God knows. And we're just bringing it before his attention to say, God, this is important to me. This is something that's special to me. And now we have the promise that God knows what we have need of. And our instruction is just to bring it to him and pray for it, and bring it before his throne. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. As I was preaching Sunday night about, you know, just moving forward and looking forward to what heaven has for us, that although there are blessings in this life, God giving us strength and encouragement and blessing to get through, that the main goal that we're working for isn't on this earth, it's going to be in heaven someday. But as I was preaching that, you know, thinking about the promises that God's given us, this came to mind in 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 4 tells us, "Whereby are given unto us," what's given unto us? "Exceeding great and precious promises, that by these things ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." What a blessing that we have been given great and precious promises. And if there's somebody I can put a lot of value in their word, it's going to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be in God the Father. It's going to be in the Word of God. That I believe that when God says, "Hey, I know what you have need of before you ask," I can trust that 100%. I don't have to wonder, does he really mean it? Does he mean every prayer request? Does he mean this one right now? Am I wasting my time by just, you know, mentioning names and brief phrases about somebody I don't really even know? No, because I have God's word that he knows. And that is a blessing. I had a boss once, and I was sealing driveways. And it wasn't the best job I ever had in my life. I did it for 2 summers. I got hired the second year. With the understanding I'm going to work the whole summer, right? So, like, oh, nice. I got a summer job. He brought me back after the first year. And towards the very end of the year, there was a week before college started. All right, so it was the end of August. College started in August, the very end of August that year. So the week before college starts, you know, that's my last day of work, a week of work, and then there's a week off, and then college. So I told them, long time of the year, that, hey, I'm taking the week off before to finish up some stuff, help my dad with some firewood maybe, get ready for school the next week. And then about two-thirds through the summer, maybe even halfway, I got invited to go see the PGA tournament. And it was the Saturday before that week off. So when I got invited to that, I said, I went to him, talked to him in his office. We're sitting there. I said, "Can I have this Saturday off? PGA Tour's coming. A friend offered to take me. They have tickets." And we're talking about golf a little bit, and we're having a good time. He says, "Sure, you can have that day off." I said, "It's the week before I'm off anyway, so I'm just leaving one day early. I'm just going to be done a day early because we work 6 days a week. It was Monday through Saturday. Okay, good, good, good. No problem. So it's that week is coming. And it's like Wednesday or Tuesday of that week. And he's talking about me working next week. And I said, well, wait a minute. I'm done. I go to college next week. I got that last week of the summer off. And remember Saturday, I'm going to the PGA tournament. And he just like snapped. And this was kind of him anyway. But just, what? What do you mean you're not going to be here? Why are you bailing out? Lazy this, lying to me that, all kinds of, I'm like, we were sitting down talking about it. He's like, calls me in the office. Is it on the calendar? I'm like, no, I don't see it on your calendar. Well, then it's not a day off. And then like, well, you have to write. We were sitting in this office talking about it together. Remember? And just, and then he goes out to the, we pick up the work trucks and we drive them to his house to get the jobs because the office was in his home. The jobs we were going to be doing that day. And then we leave from there to go get sealer and go seal driveways. So I'm at his house and he goes out to the guys that I work with. He says, nobody give him a ride home. He's fired. He's stuck here. Yeah, you're going to bail on me. You're fired. It's a mess. Yeah, great guy. And so I was working with the Faulkners, Rob and Mike, and they didn't care. They're like, get in the truck. We'll take you back to your car. And he's hollering at them. I'm like, and, you know, he's your boss. He's in control of your money, your paycheck, your jobs. You're giving all these hours of your life to him. And then because I needed a day off, just everything's ruined, you know? And I thought, that is not someone whose word has a lot of value to me. Because we had this conversation, we had this agreement. And then when it came time for it to be put into practice, to kind of cash in on that, the word was no good. It didn't mean anything. Because the situation of that time change, he needed workers the next week, he needed jobs done that Saturday. So whatever was said before that, now that the situation is in front of us, doesn't matter. Praise the Lord, God is not that way, amen? That when he makes a promise, he made it 10,000 years ago, well, we'll say 6,000 because that's time, you know. One of the first promises of Jesus Christ happened right after man's sin, where he promised he would put enmity between the woman and his seed and your seed, and that he was going to bruise his head, but he'll just bruise his heel. That promise was fulfilled thousands of years later, but that God kept his promise. Tonight, we're just going to look quickly at some of the promises that God gives us, amen? And one of them was there in Matthew, that God knows what we need even before we ask it. That is a promise from Almighty God. And when we read through these, go with me to Isaiah chapter number 40. So most of these are going to be verses you have known, but what a blessing just to think about the promises God's given us and the faith that we can put in them because of who made the promise. When God makes a promise, we can depend on the answer. We can depend that the promise is true, not just in the moment that it's given, but in the moment when we need to use it. And there's a big difference between the two. I can promise my kids ice cream all day long, but then when we drive by the ice cream store, that's when my word needs to mean something. God could have made these promises. He can say whatever he wants, but God fulfills them too. Plenty of people say lots of stuff. Political commercials are going to be rampant up here, and all kinds of stuff is going to be said and promised, but does it actually follow through? With God, the answer is yes. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 31. We could sing this one. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What a blessing it is. The Lord promises us that he'll give us strength. How many of you get worn out? Physically exhausted, but just sometimes you're just, I'm done with it. Like the temptation for sin, I just don't want to fight it anymore. The struggles going on in the family or with kids and parents and relationships or work, and just, I just just don't want to do it anymore. God says, come to me. I've got strength for you. I've got strength for you if you come to me. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What a blessing. I know that if I physically were to take off running, it would not be long till I was weary. It wouldn't take very long at all. And I say, oh, enough of this. That same, you know, taking that physical idea and translate it into the spiritual world is just as true. We are in a spiritual battle that requires spiritual exercise, a spiritual fight, spiritual effort. And God says, wait on me. I'll give you strength. Stay by me. Let's go on. We're not going to talk about them very long. Go with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I hope these will be an encouragement to you. As I was thinking about the blessings of heaven and the promise that's to come, that's one of these promises we talk about here tonight, but those blessings that God gives us along the way to help us fulfill the journey so that when we can make it there and we can finish well and we can fight the good fight and finish the course. God has given us these promises to help us through the desert, to help us through the wilderness, to make it to heaven someday, to the promised land. Verse number 28. These are verses, a lot of these I have underlined in my Bible already. Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, there's work in the Christian life, but, and it's nothing like carrying the burden of your sin. It's nothing like carrying the guilt. And then one day having to pay for those things at the end. Christ says, I have rest for you. Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest. Look at this. This is what is so awesome. Unto your souls. That is a peace and a rest that, man, I could sleep for 8 days and still feel tired. But in my heart, I can have rest. Just quiet and stillness. In peace in the Lord. And when there's commotion and stress and confusion, God says, I got some rest for you. Cast off all those burdens that are giving you that and come to me. Trust in me. Have faith in me. I have rest for you. Let's go on to the next one. Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah has so many good verses in it. It is a great book of the Bible. Isaiah 54, many blessings of God. You know, most of them geared towards Israel, but they tell us who God is and what his character is and how he cares for his. And now that we're the bride of Christ, we don't get, you know, this is a whole other thing. All the blessings of Israel aren't magically ours, but man, we're the children of God. And Isaiah chapter number 54, verse number 10, the scripture tells us, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. What a blessing. When God makes a promise, when God says, I love you, I'll care for you, he says, oh, the mountains could be removed. The world can be destroyed. Everything around you can fall apart and crumble, and God's love will still be there. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing is going to. Neither height nor depth nor any other creature. Amen. And there's that big list in there. That is God's love toward us. We can depend on it. Sometimes we might question and doubt love in our relationships. You might have had somebody at one point in their life say that they loved you, and that at another point you see their actions and you say, wait a minute, what you're doing and saying now doesn't match I love you. Because you're hurting me, you're betraying me, you're lying to me, we don't have to worry about that with God. God said, I love you. And he meant it then, and he means it just as much today. There's no love growing cold, there's not wearing out. God loves us, and his love will never, never fail. Go with me to Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. Look at verse number 13. Colossians 1:13. Speaking of Christ, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, I know we know this, that our sins are forgiven. But you know something? Our sins are forgiven. That is amazing. And never let that thought grow cold or get used to hearing it over and over. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 is still true. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many little people in the room right now might be worried that your parents are going to catch you? Like if they found out something you did this last week, or even today, maybe even what you're doing right now, as you're passing notes to each other and giggling, and I don't know what they're doing. I'm just saying stuff, parents. Don't get nervous. Like, who? That my kid up there? You know what? We don't have to walk around with guilt and worry when it comes to our sins. They're forgiven. Now, yes, God says live holy. God says leave the sins of the, don't leave the old man behind. Walk in newness of life. Walk in the Spirit. There's a much better path ahead of you if you follow God. But we don't have to worry about one day being before his throne and looking at that big mountain of sin and saying, I got to pay for that. Because our sins are forgiven. If we come to Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sin. You might have guilt in your heart today for something you did today. You know what? The Bible is still true. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's hard getting stains out. We just bought a little carpet cleaner because we have two area rugs in our house. One is right when you walk in the door. It's a big round one. And then we have a little one, a rectangle one in the living room. And, well, we vacuum them regularly, but especially the big one, it's that thick material. What is that kind of stuff? It's like a woven, yeah. Is it wool? Really? Make a coat out of it. A big poncho. Let's just cut a hole in the middle. No, never mind. We won't do that. one of those big circular ones, and it just, you know, ties into itself. And we walk through that thing all the time. Shoes on, shoes off. Carry wood on it, you know, in the wintertime to the fireplace. The dog loves to come inside and lay on it and, like, roll over a couple times and stretch out. He loves doing that on it. He's in the dirt and then the hay out in his pen during the day. And we vacuum it. But, man, we ran that shampoo machine over it. There was some dark water in the bucket when we did that thing. I did it twice, too, and the second time. Still getting all that out. It is in there. I mean, that woven fabric and fibers, you get to the middle of that thing. If you could cut open, there will be dirt in the middle. I promise you. It's in there. You know what, Christian? Our lives, before Christ, were just completely saturated in sin. And as many good works, and as much as we try, you can't live holy. You can't erase those things by good works. But Christ says, you don't have to. I can do it. And even today, we live in a filthy world, and it's all around us, and we participate in it, sadly, sometimes. And Christ says, hey, that's still forgiven. What a blessing. I'm not earning any of it. But we have his promise that it's forgiven. What a blessing God has given us. Go with me to Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. Real close to there. Ephesians 1. These are all things that we have God's word on, that we can depend on it. Verse number 5 of Ephesians chapter number 1. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. What a blessing. We have the promise of God that we are now adopted into his family. Not only did I just forgive our sins and then be like, okay, you're clean, now stay out there, you know, with the rest of the scum. He says, no, I forgave you. Now you get to be in my house. Now you get to live with me. Now you're a joint heir. Now you're part of my family. And all the blessings that come with being part of the family of God. What a blessing it is to have God's promise that we are adopted. Yeah. And that we are now part of his family. Amen. We're not all the children of God. But if you're saved tonight, you're adopted into his family. There are those who are of their father, the devil. Praise the Lord, we have God's promise that we're part of his family and that he loves us and cares for us. There's a song, I don't know if we probably used to do it in youth choir a long time ago. I was just singing it in the car the other day when we were driving back from Mexico. It was like 3 in the morning, 2:30. It was almost when we were home. My wife woke up and was like, is everything okay? I'm like, yeah, I was just singing this song. Because, you know, and it's, my father has a great big family and there are many children besides me. If you're wondering how he divides his time, just let me say, I never stand in line. He loves me like I was his only child. I never felt such love before. I could never ask for more. He loves me like I was his only child. God really loves me. Yes, he really loves me. He loves me like I was his only child. What a blessing. We're not just saved. You know, people have mercy and charity. Have you ever heard of a charity case? I'll give a guy money on the side of the street. We'll help him out. But to live in my house? To be equal with my children? Oh, no, no, no. Not with God. He says, not only am I going to forgive you, not only am I going to care for you, not only am I going to love you, but you're in. What a blessing that God gave us. Let's go on. Where do we go next? Let's go to Exodus. There's a lot. We're not going to be able to get to them all tonight. There are so many. There was a book, 365 Promises of God, one for every day. I saw other ones that were even bigger. I was looking for it today a little bit, a little booklet that would fit like in your pocket of some of God's promises, if you've ever seen one of those. They're not bad to get one of those. Now there's websites and all kinds of stuff where you can print them out, but it's a blessing once in a while just to go through these and be reminded what God is actively doing for us day by day, that these promises are true every day, and that God is dependable on fulfilling them. Exodus chapter number 14, verse number 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. We just read this the other day. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, shall ye see them again no more forever. This is the part. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. We have a promise that God is our defender. And the Psalms are just full of this over and over and over. It's in the New Testament too. That God, if God be for us, who shall be against us? God is our defender. It is a spiritual warfare. We do have a part in it. My son just did a little lesson on the armor of God for his Sunday school class. And we were talking about it a little bit, getting prepared for that. I mean, there is a battle that needs to be fought on our end. But you know what? The battle doesn't depend on me. It's not win or loss in me. God is the general of this army, and God will fight for us. The devil doesn't stand a chance. Amen? He can't win. God is going to be the victor. Go with me to James chapter number 1. We'll look at just one or two more here. James chapter number 1. This one's a little different, but very needful. It's a promise that I have brought before God quite a few times in my life. And we probably prayed requests tonight, according to this verse. James 1, verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. That is a promise from God. You know, we pray a lot for the Lord's will, or the Lord's help, or sometimes we say the Lord's direction or guidance. You know what we're praying for? God, either I need it or the person we're praying for, they need some of your divine wisdom in their life. They need that lamp that your word can be and guide their path right now. They need your direction. They need your help. They need you to show yourself to them. They need your wisdom. That's a promise from God that if we pray for it, it says, it shall be given him. You can't get much more of a firm promise than that. That when you pray for God's wisdom, he will give it. Now, whether or not we listen to it is a different thing. But James chapter number 4, verse number 7, another promise here in James. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil. You guys know how it ends. And he shall flee, or he will flee from you. That is a promise from God. If we resist the devil under submission of God, what's going to happen to the devil? He might win. No, he's going to flee from you. Well, that's a promise of God. When people say, I just can't resist sin. I just can't overcome. I just can't. Yes, you can. You have the promise of God that if we submit ourselves to him and we resist, that the devil will flee. That's a promise that comes directly from God. Go with me to Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. I'm having a hard time getting there myself. Keep flipping past it. Knowing this, Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Who's the him? Jesus Christ. The old man is, if we're saved, it's like our old man, our flesh, our sinful nature is there on the cross with Christ. As Christ took on himself the sin of the whole world, he took on yours and my sin as well. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is what? Freed from sin. That is a promise that we have. Now, this is the passage that talks about baptism and how it's a symbol of Christ's death. And us being nailed on the cross, that's a picture of our old man being dead. And if our old man is dead, then we can be free from sin in the new man. That's a promise of God. Guess what? You don't have to sin. I don't have to sin. Now, sometimes a promise like that can be intimidating. Because you know what it means? Every time I've sinned, I've chosen to do it. And I don't always want that responsibility. Oh, I'd love to think it was somebody else's fault. That it was the world, it was my culture, it was the way I was brought up, it was because of the circumstance. No, it's a great and precious promise that we don't have to be captives to sin, but it also comes with a responsibility. But what a blessing to know. Guess what? Don't have to sin. The old man can be dead unless I choose to resurrect him and put him back in charge of my life. But that's also a blessing. Because guess what? I don't have to sin. I can live holy. Sometimes it might feel helpless and hopeless that it can't happen. It's just never, I'm just never going to make it there. You keep fighting and you keep fighting and you keep trying and you keep resisting, you keep confessing, and you keep trying to live holy because you don't have to sin. Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter number 6. Might just finish up here. I encourage you, and maybe as you're reading, maybe as an extra thing, as a devotion, maybe take a break from where you're reading in your Bible now, and maybe add to this list a little bit. See what promises God showed you. Maybe this week in just your normal Bible reading or your devotionals or whatever you do, maybe God will point some out to you, and I'd love to hear them. Maybe Sunday, Pastor will be back up here preaching, but I'm around the building. I bounce around here and there. You'll find me if you look for me. Grab me and say, hey, here's one that God showed me. I'd love to hear it, all right? God has many promises in his word for us. Find them. Make note of them. Claim them. Live by them. We can depend on God. We'll end with this one here for tonight, but Luke chapter number 6 kind of follows those same lines as we're, you know, kind of talking about sin and the old man and the flesh. But now it's a responsibility that we have. But what a blessing for us too. It says here, verse number 37. Well, 36 is tied into it, so we'll read that too. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also was merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Here's the promise. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. And then there's another one, give, and it shall be given. There's a list here. But talking about that old man and sin and forgiveness, as we've been forgiven, we should forgive others. And as we forgive others, we get forgiveness back. God tells us, forgive and ye shall be forgiven. God is looking at us and asking us to show forgiveness. He says, look, I have forgiven you of so much. And I will forgive you.
Yeah.
Now you,
yeah,
go forgive others. I mean, there's probably someone in your heart and mind right now you can think of that you've got, you got some walls built up against that person. God says, hey, forgive, and you shall be forgiven. People will forgive you if you are a forgiving person. People tend to give if you're a giving person. If you're a merciful person, most of the time people will show you some mercy. But this promise extends beyond just our relationships with each other. There is something about God. And now, I don't think we're not talking here about our forgiveness of sin as in salvation. But God also teaches the parable about the man who owed a great deal to the I forget if it was the king or the good men of the house or something like that. And he begs and pleads for that large amount to be forgiven. And the king forgives him. And then later that same day, the man goes out and finds a servant who owes him very little and grabs him by the neck and delivers him to the tormentors into bondage because he won't forgive a little bit. God, although our sins are forgiven, I think we're talking about just a different level of forgiveness here, just maybe blessing and the grace of God extended in our lives. I think God is looking for us to be, like, as a charitable person, as a kind person, as a good person, God's looking for us to be a forgiving person. And when we learn how to show forgiveness, I believe what the scripture is trying to show us here is that God then extends some of the extra goodness towards us. Your life will be blessed more if you learn how to forgive. That's the promise of God. Amen. And there's many more promises. As I said, as you read this week, or maybe over a course of time, maybe you do a little study, maybe it's just you start a little column on the side of your notebook as you read where you jot down promises. But write them down, claim them, and remember, these are true. These are 100% dependable, true promises because God is the one who gave them. You're not looking at me to fulfill these. You're not looking at your neighbor. Remember, we're talking about Almighty God, and He will fulfill His word. Let's stand. We'll pray and be dismissed. King's Club is going to be starting in a couple weeks. I think we said the 14th, right, Mr. Buck? September 14th. So the kids, I think, have two more Wednesdays with us, and then going back to King's Club. Excited about that. Amen. Having a good time. Group comes back on Saturday. Men's football practice on Friday. School starting in 2 weeks, the 7th, week and a half-ish. No, 2 weeks from today, first day of school. Excited about that, right? Right, Lydia? Your teacher's in the room, you know, so you should say. Yeah, there we go. All right. Let's pray and be dismissed. Amen. Lord, we thank you so much. It's just we got a little taste here tonight of your great and precious promises towards us. Lord, I pray we would depend on you above all else. Lord, help our flesh not look to ourselves, our own strength, the world around us. But Lord, first and foremost, we would look to you. Lord, I'm so thankful that you forgive sin, that you save. Lord, that you show mercy, that you give us strength, that you're our defender. Father, I'm so thankful for, Lord, just knowing that you are my Father. And I'm part of your family and that you love me and you care for me. Father, we're going to leave, go to life, work tomorrow, and Lord's just going to be another day. But I pray, Lord, that tomorrow would be a day that we walk with you, that we hear from you, that we spend some time with you, Lord, that we would have a spiritual day. Lord, we love you, can't wait for the day we get to stand before you, get to see the glories of heaven. Lord, that's going to be a marvelous day. In the meantime, Lord, help us to be faithful, to be servants, to be a witness, and Lord, to be a child, your child, and live in a way that would bring honor and glory to your name. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church. God bless you as you go this week.